Welcome to TLDR with Tony and Luke. I'm Luke.
And I'm Tony.
Join us as we discuss the times when murder first is the best option.
The best policy.
Best policy. Murder, best policy.
I would not often say that, but I think I agree in this situation.
You, Mr. Charisma Man, always want to chat with everyone, picks the character with the uncontrollable dark urges to murder everyone.
Oh, no, it's completely controllable. I just keep choosing to embrace them.
I mean, distinction without a difference in this case, you still ended up murdering everyone we come across.
Yeah.
I'm blaming you. You're the ringleader in this little murder fest that we call Baldur's Gate 3.
I blame Larian and Studios.
I mean, they didn't make the game. I suppose you could throw the blame up there.
I am fully throwing it at their feet.
Oh, man, we've just killed our way through everything. It feels like not even like mostly intent, like not like not all
not
the time. It's intentional, but like we went to speak to some trolls. And I was doing the conversation and I went to press, I want to say one, to talk to them. And then I pressed two instead, which was attack. And we did.
Yep.
And then someone had played through, I don't remember what it was, but someone played through the single player and was like, oh, we could have got a horn from them. So they summoned them to battle. I'm like, oh, that would have been interesting. And then I looted them and I'm like, oh. The horn's the horn. Here. Yeah. Oh, my God. We still get it. Like, I don't know. Like, is it a magical horn? Yeah. You can't blow the horn and it rings out. And it's like, dead ogres can't be summoned, which I think was just worth.
Yeah, that's good.
The whole thing was to blow the horn and have the game say, turns out.
Yeah, turns out if they're dead, they can't come back.
They're not magical ogres. They're just regular ogres. Which is funny because the idea then would be what they're just the three ogres just following you around all the time through all your adventures.
Waiting for you to blow the horn.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, but we are bad people.
Not really.
You killed your girlfriend. We killed the dog. We killed the ogres.
No, the dog attacked us, so it's the dog's own fault.
Don't know.
Stabbed the vampire through the chest.
Yeah, we killed the vampire.
Yeah.
That's right.
Admittedly, he deserved it.
I killed the vampire.
I have
true.
No sympathy for
him. He was creeping on me, okay? I'm not putting up with that type of shit, okay? Shoom, straight in the heart.
Totally
solved.
Justified.
Yeah. I think the dog was barking because it came across the dead body of your girlfriend.
Yes.
And was like, what's going on?
Didn't know why.
Yeah. Picked the wrong time to turn up. And then it's dead body. Every time we move camp, the dead dog's still in the camp as a reminder.
Yeah. And the blood splats are there permanently.
And the blood, not so much the blood splats, but the intricate detailed drawing you made of innards are still on the ground following us around the camp.
Yeah. I think Astarion's blood splat's going to be there forever now too.
Probably. Is his body still there?
Well, I don't know. We haven't rested again since.
Oh, okay. I took all his shit.
Drove a stake through his heart.
Stole his loot.
Yeah. But the most ridiculous thing that I find is this game is best when played that way.
Because you're playing through a single player.
No, not anymore.
Oh, you stopped.
I'm actually very glad that I hate this game because it means I can play Starfield.
Oh, okay.
When Starfield comes out. So I'm really glad that I actually
hate you're this really
game.
Not liking the.
No.
Okay.
I'm not. Part of it is my own problem.
Yeah, okay.
Part of it is my own fault. So I'll give you two examples of why I don't like it.
Yep.
You will know the first example because you were there. So the goblin comes in. Tells you to kiss his feet.
Ah, yes.
So, okay, I'm going to kiss your feet. But
that's
right,
we killed all
urge.
These people, too, didn't we?
I've got the dark urge. I'm going to bite his toe off. Yeah. So I bite his toe off. He doesn't take too kindly to that. So him and his five buddies near him go full on hostile and they attack us.
Yeah.
The whole camp is there.
Yeah.
They're all there. They're attacking us. The five guys around us are attacking us. So we take him out in our first attack.
Yeah.
So the rogue does a sneak attack. Shot from up above, takes all his hit points down. He tries to surrender.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was considering accepting his surrender.
Yeah.
But you guys all said, no, kill him. So we choose the option to not accept his surrender and continue the attack.
Yeah.
The entire camp, literally the entire camp turns hostile at this point.
Oh, yeah.
There was no warning at all saying up until now, you've only aggroed the five guys around this guy.
Yeah.
If you don't let him surrender, the entire village is going to go hostile. No warning, nothing. Larian knew full well that there's no way a party at the level that they'll be at when they reach this encounter would be able to survive that encounter.
Yeah.
There's no way you can survive it. None at all.
There's too many.
But they give you no warning whatsoever. Because we've been fighting five of them, I thought, we kill him, we just fight the five again. We finish the fight. That's what I thought, in all honesty.
Oh, that's what I thought too. I thought if we'd known it was going to aggro the whole camp, we would have been like, oh.
Yeah, there's no way we would have done it. No. So that in my mind, is just terrible. It absolutely breaks the suspension of disbelief, utterly.
Yeah.
Because, okay, you try and do the fight and you waste an hour and you're dead and you got to reload anyway.
Yeah.
So just that completely soured it for me. I thought that was terrible. All they need to do was have a warning saying, this will aggro the entire camp. Are you sure you wish to do this? That's all they needed to do.
Does the game have a narrator? I'm trying to think.
Yes.
Like,
yes, it does. There's a voiceover. There's that creepy voiceover lady when you see stuff.
Yeah, okay. I'm trying to think. Sometimes they sort of like they put that stuff as kind of like, you know, the dungeon master giving you context clues about you know, this is going to happen. If you do this, this might, you know, it should say like, even the options could be something like, don't let surrender.
There's every chance this will aggro the entire village. Camp.
Or, you know, this is going to make everyone mad at you. Like just even like a little subtle context clue that like this has ramifications for what's going on.
Yeah, you may not be aware of these ramifications because you've already been in a fight. We accept you've already been in a fight with five people, which you could probably handle.
Because that was probably, and that made sense contextually as well, because it was him and his crew at the stage doing their thing.
Yeah.
And like, it's kind of expected that there might be a bit of a, it seemed to be like this was a celebration for the goblins, right? So
yes, it is.
A couple of fights are probably expected part of like going through the goblin thing. That's fine. If they killed you, it would have been
whatever. We'll take all your stuff.
You know. It requires a lot of reading into the situation before you would make that choice when you're not.
That annoyed me.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Yep.
The other thing. So I've, in my single player game, which I've now stopped playing, I've done the Druid Grove five times.
Yeah.
This is why I never finished Neverwinter Nights as well, because I want to find out every single permutation, so I play the same bit over and over and over again. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I want to stop myself from doing it, but I can't help myself.
Yeah.
So I've played it five times and had five different results every single time, completely wildly different results of what happens.
Yep.
All to do, I think, with how much time passes with what I'm doing.
Right.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah, that's frustrating. But to give an example, this is the reason that I'm angry with the game. This is the example that I'm going to give. So in the Druid village, there's a little tiefling kid who, if you pay attention to him, he says, I'm bored. There needs to be some new pockets to pick.
Yeah.
And if you happen to hear him and see him say that and you watch him, he goes over to one of the mercenaries from the gate that were outside, got let in. He goes up to one of them and he literally picks his pocket. You see him pick his pocket.
Yeah, nice.
And then he runs away.
Yep.
And then the guy realizes he's had his pockets picked and he chases the kid.
Yeah.
And so he runs up to where one of the guards is patrolling.
Yep.
And if you go up and you enter the conversation, you have this whole conversation. And you can side with the kid, you can side with the mercenary, you can do nothing.
Yeah.
Well, I saw the kid pick his pocket, so I told the kid that, you know, this is why Eladrin have a bad name. Not Eladrin, what are we? Tieflings. This is why tieflings have a bad name.
Yeah.
Because you do shit like this. I saw you give it back to him.
Yeah.
Now, if the guard happens to be part of his patrol, wanders past, he joins the conversation as well.
Okay.
If he happens to wander past. But in the... This time he didn't want to pass, so I had the entire conversation. The kid gathered the necklace back, then basically goes to you,
of course,
and runs off.
Yeah.
And then the mercenary just walks off. And so then you go and talk to the mercenary, and you can try and shake him down for that amulet, which no doubt ends up in getting into a fight. Hmm. Or you can do nothing. So I turned it down, did nothing. So here's my rub with all of this. The whole interaction took me about 15 minutes of my real time, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
There's obviously so much detail that Larry and Shooter have put into it. If you watch, you see the kid pick his pocket, you see the kid run away, you see the guy realize his pocket, you see him fall. If the guard walks past, the guard joins in the conversation as well. So they put all this effort into it.
Yeah.
15 minutes of my time watching all of this. At the end, Nothing. No experience points. No story went forward. No loot. Nothing. A complete and utter waste of my time.
I mean, you get to enjoy the whole interaction, but I take your point.
Yeah, okay. That is a good point, except as a dungeon master,
yeah,
the druid area is way too big for the point of the game that it is at.
Yeah.
The game is fun when you're leveling up and having combat.
Yeah.
The druid area is so big and you're level two. Yeah. Your skills aren't very good. Your skill rolls aren't very good. There's all these skill checks you got to make. And there's so much interaction with no combat gameplay at all.
Yeah.
And so, and this is why I had several playthroughs. At one point, I got sick of doing the village. So I went left and I went and did something else. And of course, time had passed. And so now the mercenaries had left the camp. The druids were closer to finishing their ritual, so the tieflings are now all pissed off with me because I didn't finish the tieflings thing.
So you really have to go there first and do it because it locks you in,
which made me paranoid about ever taking rests because you don't know what part of the story is going to move forward and what's not.
Unlike with Kingmaker, which has the whole time thing, but it's very clear about, like, if you take time off, this is going to progress these other stories and things. Like, it's all very clear about what's happening.
Yeah.
As a sort of like a D&D analog to similar sort of a game kind of thing.
Yes. Different.
You definitely do feel in the dark about
what's actually going on, what the impact's going to be. So
yeah,
I love the D&D mechanics of this game.
Yep.
It looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
But I honestly hate the storytelling. Mm. I hate it. In comparison, Celeste, the Crown of the Magister, that is a fantastic game.
Yeah.
Because everything's basically area maps, and you don't need to rest if you're in an area map, and you can only rest when you get to fireplaces.
Yeah.
So they've paced you. They know how healthy you're going to be. It's still random chance, so they know roughly how healthy you're going to be. They don't know exactly how healthy you're going to be.
Yeah.
And so they paced everything, and they limit when you can rest and when you can't. And if you're in an area map and there's a campfire, you know full well you have to rest now. There's a big fight coming up. That's why they put this campfire here so you can rest.
A bit more of a linear path, I guess. But
there's still choices of where you go, so it doesn't feel linear.
When you got a time pressure as well like that, you don't really have a choice anymore. Now you're forced to interact and do a part of the story and do it, because if you don't, then you're going to miss.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I take you, like, I mean, to my mind, having a lot of stuff that you kind of miss gives you, it does give you opportunity of replayability to come back and do it again and see different things and things like that.
Yes.
But I do take your personal thing of, like, you want to, like, see all the things.
Yeah. And I want to get the best run.
Yeah. Which you're just never going to do with this game because there's too much to do.
There's just so many options. And I still haven't, even having gone through it five times, I know there's still options that I haven't played out. I've only got to the main druid once.
Yeah.
In five playthroughs, I've only actually got to the main druid once to see her with the little kid and the snake. Yeah. And there's like nine ways that can come out.
Yeah.
There's clearly all these different ways that can turn out as well. It's just, they put so much in it. And so unlike Mass Effect, where I really loved playing it through and seeing the different outcomes, and I really enjoyed that,
it's
because Mass Effect was paced so much better.
Yeah.
It made me want to play it again and see the different outcomes rather than this. Which
it almost, well, I'd say there's probably less. It sounds like there's maybe as many choices as you get in Mass Effect for the entire game they've put into just the Forest Grove alone, almost, you know.
Exactly.
Like, you don't want to tell you. I did take your point, though. Like, that interaction is there, and you, and then building that conversation out should absolutely have rewarded you something for that.
Yeah.
That interaction, you know, like a bit of XP, you know, a bit of acknowledgement that you found, that you paid attention, that you spotted the kid, that you chased the kid down and talked to them and did all those things should be. See, Baldur's Gate 2 did have really obscure quests like that.
Right.
I don't know whether this is a callback to that, but I know there's some stupid quest. Something I can remember now, but there was a whole like huge list of all these ones, but you had to be a barbarian of a certain, or maybe as a fighter of a certain type and level.
Yep.
And if you were in this one place once,
something
the quest would trigger.
Yep.
There'd be a thing there and a whole thing you can go through, but it had like the requirement specialization was so narrow.
Restrictive,
You know, I don't know whether that's where they're sort of taking some inspiration from. I don't think it was one of the better. No, I don't know. That's maybe a little bit too specific to really make it a better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to play a single player playthrough myself and get some, because as I said, the four player thing, the story I'm not really following. No,
and that's why I'm actually enjoying it more, because we're just ignoring the story
and just going through
and just trying to go from fight to fight.
Just fighting, which is fun. Yeah, yeah, I'm certainly enjoying the combat.
Yes.
I find this is exactly the same sort of problems we had with Divinity 2. Yeah, are exactly the same ones. Is. We enjoyed the combat in Divinity 2 for the most part, except for the action point chicanery.
Yeah.
The fights are fun. You got all those elements to play with, you know, the fire, the grease, things exploding, you know, elemental stuff. I love just getting weapons out and just throwing them at enemies. Yeah, it's just hilarious. I threw that dwarf off the roof of the house and then it survived. So I got his friend off the roof, threw him into his friend on the ground and killed them both. Yeah. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
That was so much fun. And, you know, that stuff's great. Definitely. But yeah, I think the story, I didn't notice that, like, the conversations, I don't know whether they've added it in since we started playing the first time, but now they've got the conversation log you can go through.
No, that was there all along.
All along?
It just wasn't as obvious. Yeah.
Okay, and I hate it because when you click it, it takes over the entire screen. As if that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
And I noticed that it does tell you what the person picked.
Yes.
But it's below
their response.
Their response, which is a really odd way to read it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't last long enough for you to be able to actually read the whole thing. It's just there.
Multiplayer you need, because you need to know what choice the other person made. Because you're not that person. You don't know what choice they made.
And the lack of the cutscenes, missing out on all the start of the cutscenes and stuff, because everyone's not in yet, is still proving to be very challenging to the story as well. So
they haven't really thought it through as a multiplayer game.
No.
Which is silly. Because
D&D's a multiplayer game. It's the original multiplayer game.
Yeah. Come on, Larry.
Yeah. I agree with your things. Combat's great. The things are fun to do. Running around the maps are gorgeous. You know, I find getting around a lot easier than Divinity 2.
Yes.
Because you can actually, like, pan the map around a bit, you know.
And you got the jump, and you've got
the jump. How fun is jump? Jump is amazing. Jump
Yeah.
There was that, like, thing that was he's far away and no one could jump. I'm like, strong man coming through here. Your thing just, like, leaping through the air across these pillars to get to the loot.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, there's loot everywhere for that sort of stuff. So it rewards you for exploring and going off there. There's always a little.
Yeah. And then penalizes you at the same time because that's someone that you get into a conversation with.
Yeah.
And you've actually, the character that can jump over there has got terrible charisma.
Yeah.
Because they've invested everything in strength. And this one wants your charisma to talk to. Yeah.
Yeah.
They want their cake and eat it too, I find.
They really do.
They've made me not want to see it in a positive light. That's the problem. That's why I'm picking up all the problems with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because they made me see it in a negative light. So now I'm seeing everything that I would have done this differently. I would have done this differently. I would have done this differently. Whereas, like The Witcher, several complaints for The Witcher as well, but I was loving the game so much, I just overlooked all of the problems.
Yeah.
Just the pacing. I really find for low level, the pacing is so badly off. Now, I would say it probably improves later on in the game, but I also know that leveling up takes a lot longer later in the game. So I suspect the pacing isn't improved later on in the game.
Yeah.
It took us forever to get from level 3 to level 4. It took us ages.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? And then Josh missed out because he was dead for one goblin.
No, it's because he hadn't got he hadn't had any inspiration. The three of us had all had at least one inspiration, which gave us 25 experience points more than Josh each, which is why he had 7 less, because we had the 25 more, so we all pinged. Oh,
I thought it was because he was dead for that
you
one.
You still get all the XP for the fights, but you get 25 bonus XP when you get an inspiration point.
Yeah. Yep. That was so funny.
Yeah, it was very funny. Yes. And then he spent forever choosing his feet, and then we all died anyway and had to reload it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So those feats were so tedious. Yeah. Oh, my God, that UI is so bad. So you just get a feat to pick, and you get nothing more than a list.
Yeah.
Like 30 choices, I want to say.
Yeah.
And no indication from the list about, like, what a particular feat might be good for your class or not. Yeah. It's exactly the same as in Divinity 2.
Yeah.
And then you got to click on each one and read what it is.
Yeah,
it doesn't
even have, like, a recommended tick.
No, nothing.
That's all it needed.
And I could have just looked through those 5
choose that one. Yep.
I just picked the one that gave me more hit points based on my level. I'm like, more hit points is good for me with the pointy stick.
Yeah.
That will do. Problem solved. I'm done reading this list.
And I spent so long trying to work out what it is. I just went for the ability point increase.
Yeah.
So I had a couple of choices of thought, but I'm thinking I'm taking too long. The others want to move on. So
that's the problem. That's multiplayer.
Yeah.
Well, yes and no. I mean, the fact that you can't, you know, access your character outside of me having the game up and running.
Yes. Means you know, we can't play with that character outside of the game.
Or just do that level up bit or anything, you know. Yeah. But like leveling up takes a bit of time. It's fine. But it's only mostly because everyone had to read through this list for the first time of all these feats, you know, looking through it all. I just cracked it and went, I just can't be. I'm not invested enough in it to worry about like one feat being wrong. Hit points is not going to be a bad thing to have. Kind of thing, but I appreciate, you know, it's just that's an unfair complaint. See, this is what happens, right? You start to like, you start picking out all the things that like bug you about it, kind of thing.
And maybe you end up with so much gold, paying with 100 gold to respect your character is not a big deal, but at the moment, 100 gold is a big deal,
and it's not a big deal because we don't have stuff to sell, we've all got chests full of gear that we could get rid of and translate into
it's
gold.
It's just way too hard to sell stuff,
there'll be
selling. System. I spent 15 minutes selling to the goblin.
Yeah, and it wasn't even all of it.
No,
he ran out of money. Stuff. Oh well, see,
he ran out of money, and I bought all the stuff that he had that was good.
Yeah,
and he still ran out of money.
Yeah, which is again the exact same problem with Divinity 2.
Yeah,
you know. I made the joke last episode. You know that this is Baldur's Divinity.
Yes.
Gate 3. I'm more convinced on that. I think that's where my dissatisfaction comes from.
Yeah, they couldn't let go of all their Divinity stuff.
And I
just couldn't let it go.
I do. I understand. I'm not like this is not a criticism on like what they've done, what they've tried to do with it. It's just for me, I've got such a nostalgia for Baldur's Gate 2 that really puts, you know, I don't know, screening, blinders, blinkers, I'm not sure, something on my perception of the game.
The opposite of rose-colored glasses.
The opposite, that's it, you know. Yeah. And so I'm like, I'm looking for the feeling I had when I first time I played it, which is just a completely unrealistic expectation to put on it, which is kind of why I didn't want to look at this game before it came out, because I'd start to do this immediately to it and start to like go, well, this is not the thing, you know. It's totally unfair, It's not... not an objective reason not to like a game.
The other thing
it's
with
nostalgia.
Baldur's Gate. I only played Baldur's Gate 1. I never played Baldur's Gate 2. But the other thing with Baldur's Gate 1 is the merchants had no magic items at all. When you found magic items, it was a big thing. But the first vendor you find, that halfling in there, he's got a rare magic item for sale. The very first vendor you find. He's got the gloves of missile snaring for sale.
Yeah.
And they've all got... They've got a bunch of plus one weapons. Magic items are supposed to be hard to come by. They're supposed to be really good and interesting when you find them.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that they give you all these lame magic items quite early in the game, that they literally are lame.
They're not like ones that meet, I think, because I've got a fair few magic items.
You've got 3+1 spears for crying out loud.
Yeah, I do. I throw those spears, okay?
Yeah,
they're usable.
Why would we have 3+1 spears?
And I think someone doesn't have boots yet.
I don't have magic boots. No.
Yeah, I think I've got mostly my gears all magicked out because it's because I'm the only one with like medium or heavy armor class. Yeah. So I immediately get all that stuff. And that's that balancing thing. Same as Divinity 2.
Yeah.
There's no rolling on what you have in your party. Yeah. It's useful
to you.
Doesn't
look to see what will these characters want and I'll roll on that table.
And I'd be fine with some very low level items, but you're right, some of the higher stuff should come later. To take to your point though, Baldur's Gate 2 does have a merchant in when you first exit Aranicus' dungeon, and you get into City of Arm, the second game is not set in Baldur's Gate, no,
right.
In that area, in the Presidium there, there is a merchant who sells really good magic stuff. You can't afford anything because you got no money, kind of thing. But it's there as like a teaser to like, you could come back when you look forward to coming back to him and buying this magic stuff. I don't really remember too many other places though having magic items. It was his store that was a special store that was a bit weird. It was full of stuff everywhere. You just got the feeling that there was all sorts of hidden magical treasures all over the shop kind of thing was sort of the feel you get, rather than some rando...
Halfling at the front gate and the tiefling smith in the back. Oh, yeah, I've got 16+1 weapons for sale.
The goblin makes sense to have lots of magical weapons because they just raided somewhere, right?
Yes.
So that would make sense to me that he might have some extra loot, but it's not just him. it's just everyone's got heaps of magical stuff. Yeah.
Well, and see, now you've just made a point that I would actually really love.
Yeah.
If the goblin had a suit of magic armor for a fighter and a, like a suit of magic equipment for a fighter and a suit of magic equipment for a rogue and a suit of magic equipment for a wizard and a suit of magic equipment for a cleric. Okay, that's the four party members that they just killed and stole all their stuff. That would be really good. That would add flavor to the game.
Yeah.
Instead of the halfling with my... I got a plus one trident and a plus one glaive guisarm and a plus one jockstrap of non-itching. So all this bizarre... I don't have a plus one sword, which is what you actually want.
Yeah.
I don't have a plus one crossbow, which is what you actually want. I've got these bizarre left field items.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you're never going to want. Which maybe, okay, that's to encourage you to try a different weapon.
Maybe so. Maybe so. And maybe you could do that.
But then you don't know
how... D&D's a little limited, though, with your weapon specializations. Like mine, or I don't know, my character especially, like it's got extra bonuses for sticking with what I've got. Like the basically long sword, short sword, bastard sword, maybe a rapier. But I don't have exotic weapons or anything. I can't really... Or spears or something like that. Like I've got a certain set.
You got martial weapons.
Martial weapons.
Because you're a fighter, you've got all martial weapons.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I don't. I've got like quarterstaff.
Yeah, you have like nothing.
Club. Yep. Quarterstaff, club, and something else.
Yeah.
But I think that's to partially make the fighters more interesting because that's actually not a D&D rule set thing.
Oh, right. Okay.
Then weapons don't have those special features in D&D.
Right.
Okay. It's just to make the game slightly more interesting for fighters, I believe.
That makes... Okay, fair enough. Then I'll, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to really love it, and I do really love the combat, and I really love the D&D overlay on it. Like, I love tinkering my spells and playing with that. I do really enjoy that, but...
Yeah, look, I'm still keen to keep playing it, but, like, as the four group... I don't really have much desire to go and dive into a single game.
I'm going to drop my single play game, particularly when Starfield comes out, which is good because I didn't want to have the two games competing and now they're not going to compete.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm going to enjoy Starfield much more.
Well,
because it's an action RPG.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we will. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, in the spirit of murdering everything that you come across, I played some State of Decay 2.
That's vampires?
No, zombies.
Zombies.
It's basically the Walking Dead video game.
Oh, okay.
In my experience. Like, when I was playing, I'm like, this is sort of feels like, you know, if you're going to, like, pick a franchise for this to be sort of similar.
Yeah, it's Walking Dead.
Walking Dead, the one I would pick kind of thing. I didn't play number one. I only played this is the first time I played number two as well. It was free over the weekend. Give it a crack, four player. It was pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty good. I think it's probably a much better single player game than a multiplayer game.
Right.
Because again, similar to Baldur's Gate 3, one person owns the story.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Your friends can come and join you and they can collect loot, but all the loot is only theirs. Yeah. So like when you go out to an area, they'll be color coded and that you're going to get into your containers. The host gets way more containers than anyone else. it seems that way anyway. I'm pretty sure that's the case because you go into a room and there'd be like one blue, one orange, one green, and like three yellows for the host kind of thing. So it's not a very good multiplayer game because you don't get any progress for your character.
Yeah.
You do get some items. And so when I went back to my single player game, I had
some
more
of the
kit that I picked up and stuff. So there is a little bit there, but the story doesn't get a progress. The map doesn't progress. Yeah. Effectively, it's kind of one of those clear the map kind of games. There's play cards all over the place you got to destroy. And when you do that, you can then sort of access more of the settlements, like houses that have loot in them or allies. Then there's like ones that produce ammo, fuel, food, and whatnot. And they take it back to your central base and you can move your base along the map into new areas and you sort of get a little compound and you upgrade it with medicals and workshops and stuff and sort of you abandon the old base.
Yeah.
You know, and if you've got little settlements, they'll feed in to your base. I presume you probably go, I only played the one, so I'm not sure how it extrapolates towards end game, but I presume the numbers just get bigger and bigger and you get bigger bases and stuff. You need more beds to support more people so you can have more things. A little bit like what settlements in Fallout 4 worked like kind of thing, except that I would say you don't control all the settlements. You've only really got the one that you're currently working your quest out kind of thing. But you got cars to drive around the big map and stuff like that, and it's a huge map that you can cut around. Another thing about the single player, the multiplayer is that you have a circle that you got to be in, which is around the main host, and you can't go outside of that, otherwise you disconnect. So it's a little bit limited, but like the pacing of it, the combat is pretty fun. You know, you've got melee weapons, you've got couple of types of ranged weapons to take around with you, bigger backpacks to carry more stuff, and some stats you can level up with your characters depending on what sort of stat profile that particular character. They've all got kind of the strengths and weaknesses, and the more you do, the more you get. Yeah, and then when you get to 5 stars, you can then pick a specialization, which gives you some bonuses. Like I got my athletics to 5, which was either more carry weight or do like a running attack kind of thing. Like maybe it was more stamina and you do a running attack with your melee weapon kind of thing. So nice little tweaks to sort of customize your set of 4 characters you have to play. Yeah,
they play slightly differently.
Yeah, a little bit all differently. You're using different purposes, Like maybe you're going to do medical stuff. You'll use your medical character to go and do that to get bonuses. You have a fighting character, but then like when they get tired, you need to switch to any other character so they can sleep for a bit. And the other mechanic there I saw was like this plague infection kind of thing. If you get too close to the plague hearts or you get attacked by blood zombies, you get infected yourself and then you need to like go and heal yourself up, put them in the infirmary and stuff like that. So yeah, it's got a real good like grounding in, I said, like the Walking Dead kind of like realistic kind of zombie take. For the most part, as realistic as these type of things get, it's quite fun. Yeah. It's quite fun. I think it's a single player game. It would be if you like zombies, and that sort of the idea of like having a base kind of thing to sort of work along. And I think it's I would definitely play it. I think, if I owned it, it'd be one that I would definitely tick away at kind of thing. Yeah. I'd have to get it for the right price at the moment, though, because I got a lot on the plate at the moment. I feel that's something that'll probably show up in a bundle at some point. It's probably on Game Pass. It's a Microsoft game.
And you'll never
play
it, just like you've never played Chaos Forge Demon Hunters.
That's on my list.
Yeah. And this will be on your list as well. You have it to play and it will be on your list.
It's a different game though. See, like, because like that's like an action-y kind of thing. It's sort of more like,
it feels a different niche.
Different niche and different thing.
A different play itch. It's scratched.
Yes, I haven't had an itch to play
a turn-based
thing yet, kind of thing. And I want to go into it when I'm like,
open-minded for it to go.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
because what it does very, very well.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're doing Baldur's Gate at the moment, so it's kind of like my turn-based thing at the moment as well. Yeah, but yeah, so like if I was looking for something like an action-y sort of, just plot along, do a little bit of progress, play a little bit, keep working on it,
State of Decay 2 would be it.
Would be it. And I think an even better multiplayer game if it was like actually...
Yeah, designed as a multiplayer game. Have your own progress could transfer across. Yeah.
Yeah. I understand why they've done it the way they have, because the way you got to like take over bases and stuff, and then that's what drives the quest, is when you pick up an outpost.
Okay.
You might end up, I guess, maybe going different directions and be really far away, and maybe it doesn't make sense. It'd be like a different game if you really made it truly multiplayer rather than just a bit of like
drop in, drop out,
kind of thing. Yeah. Or maybe there are big bosses later on. Maybe that'd be fun if you had like to go and longer fight and stuff. You got to kill some people occasionally, bad people, of course, as well as bad
zombies. Every zombie apocalypse has bad people.
Indeed. Indeed. Yep. So you got to clean them out, keep you safe and safe. Yeah, State of Decay 2. I was a win. Looking forward to picking it up cheap in a humble choice at some point in the future. Or as I said, if you've got Game Pass, I'm sure it's on there for free right now.
Yep.
But you've been diving back
into it as well. I played Civilization 6.
Yeah.
Which was
dangerous.
Yeah. It plays very differently to... So my Civilization benchmark is Civilization 3. That's my benchmark Civilization. That really was, in my opinion, the best of the civilizations.
Yeah.
That did so many things right. And Civilization 6 has got a lot of improvements over Civilization 3. So there's no stacking of military units, so you can see all the individual military units and they don't just have one hit. They've got multiple hit points and stuff. That's good. But the new innovation in Civilization, I probably talked about this before when I played Civilization 6 before, but the new innovation of the districts. That's the other thing, because there's now Eurekas, it takes you half as long to research a whole bunch of the techs, but it still takes you as long to build the techs. So now all of a sudden your tech's getting outdated really quickly.
Because you're getting miracled over, but you're still by the time and stuff like that.
And so then there's new areas that are called districts, and the districts have adjacency bonuses and stuff, and you've got to build a district to get great people, and you've got to build a district to build certain buildings. But the districts don't cover multiple cities. I think I would love the districts is if it covered multiple cities. So if you had one theater district and it had like a radius of 8 hexes or something, so any city in the 8 hexes would benefit from the theater district.
Yeah.
But the way they've done it, you really need to build one of every district in every city anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't see the point of the districts. So that's – and I started playing it on – Three out of eight difficulty level.
Three out of eight. You're right. Yep.
And I thought, because the previous ones, I know what I'm doing.
Yep.
And I'm not doing particularly well. They're out teching me. They're out economying me. They're building world wonders 2 turns before I build my world wonder. So I lose all my production and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
So I started again on the dumbest of the dumb level.
Yeah.
And from my past Civilization games, that means the computer is so hamstrung, you don't have to worry. You just have fun.
Yeah.
You're just God and they're all morons. That's not the case in this one. They were still beating me
on
the
geez.
Dumbest of the dumb level.
Oh, right.
They were still outstripping me on stuff. So I obviously don't know how they want you to play this game.
Yeah, you might
have
to do
it. It's not
a bit
the
of...
same way as the previous six.
Yeah. Let's do a little YouTubing and check out what's going on there.
I was enjoying it, but getting frustrated at the same time because I didn't. No. I wasn't doing as well as I thought I should have been doing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always tough. That's tough. Yeah. 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 Particularly when you've already bounced it down to the lowest.
Yes.
You can't, like, there's nothing else
there's
to
nothing
do.
Lower.
It's like,
there's
okay.
nothing dumber than that.
Oh, I'm just terrible at this game then. Fine.
But they've done well. The civilization leaders have good personality differences and they do actually play differently and they comment on your play style based on their belief systems.
Yep. Yeah,
it looks gorgeous too. It's another game that looks so much better than the predecessor. It makes it very hard to go back and play the predecessors.
I was going
to
wait until I play Civ 3, but I'm it's an old game now.
Yeah,
yeah.
It looks terrible compared to the new ones.
New ones,
yeah.
They get you. It's not like graphics are always important, but sometimes it makes a difference.
Yeah, it does make a difference. So I played on my mum's computer when I was dog sitting the other weekend, and it looked okay. And I thought, it's not that much better. Then I played it on my computer, and it looks spectacular.
So the
graphics change based on how powerful your video card is.
Of course, yeah.
That's right. It does look so much better. It's just that I need a better computer. It dumbs down all the graphics for the video card.
So you're going to keep going? You're going to give up, Tony, or you're going to...
I'll tinker with it a bit more. It's still 2 weeks before Starfield comes out.
Yeah, I've got to give it a bit more time. Yep. 2 weeks, is it? Jeez, all right, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, I'm glad then I've finished Ratchet & Clank then.
Yeah, Ratchet & Clank.
Talk about an easy 100%
on
the achievements.
I was surprised. Super.
I mean, I'm presuming they're the same as they are on PlayStation.
Oh, I wouldn't think that they'd
change
them
or anything. But like not even... Because I played it on the hardest difficulty level.
Yeah.
Because I thought it would be a good challenge, but also because I thought there would be like an achievement for beating the game on the hardest. And there's not this time. I'm like, oh, man.
I don't care whether you do it on hard.
I did it hard for no reason.
Yeah, made your life hard for no reason.
That was such good fun. I finished that first playthrough and just immediately jumped into the new game plus to start working on the guns and stuff again. And it was tough the second time around. The fights were, I think they were only easier because I knew how to beat.
Yes, you knew the mechanic for the bosses.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is the case in the other ones. I never felt like the previous games really required you to use a certain gun on a certain enemy. But in this one, I really felt like some enemies really did respond better, like took more damage with certain guns other than other ones. Like, they felt like there was very obvious, like, oh, have you got the big boxing guys in a melee? Use the Enforcer because it just knocks them back, it knocks them down, and then it does heaps of damage like really well.
Or you can
really
use
well.
The video game one as well.
The Pixelator. Yeah. I couldn't work out what the hell that one did.
It turns them into video game characters.
Yeah, but like...
So it reduces all their damage, reduces all their health.
Oh, just the damage as well. I didn't notice. Yeah. Because like you couldn't get hit in the very hard, otherwise you were pretty much dead anyway. Dead. So you had to avoid it anyway. I didn't notice.
It makes them a lot worse. And you can get a hole because it's a shotgun. You get
that was good, kind of thing. Right. But the robots, the nefarious robots, they really responded well to the blaster pistol, the triple blaster. They, like, yeah, you could tell that was doing that more damage than other ones. I'm like, oh, they've really, you know, aside from, like, you know, the shield guys, the shield pirates was like, well, that you have to use the ricochet on those or the rhino. Well, the rhino works on everything, but, you know, the ricochet gun really is the best thing to use. Like, it was nothing else. Well, the Mr. Zircon's apocalypse glove is okay. Some explosives okay if you can flip it over the back there. But the ricochet is like, oh no, that is just obviously just.
Wasn't there someone that ripped their shield out of their hands? I seem to think maybe I was ripping their shield out of their hands.
If you did that, I missed that completely because I certainly did not do that.
Yeah, I might be mixing it up with a different game. It's been a long time since I played that.
Fair enough.
But I do remember the shield guys are really annoying, but I think I worked out there was something. You could rip the shield out of their hands and then they were easier to kill.
I have a suspicion there might have been something in a previous Ratchet and Clank to let you do that. Oh, but I don't think there was anything in this one that had any like grappling effect that might let you rip it out kind of thing.
Okay. I'm probably misremembering.
No, fair enough. The topiary sprinkler.
Yes.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's brilliant. I've got that. I'm like, oh, this is a bit. But why is the
end? But it
I'm
even
like,
works on the bosses.
Oh, yeah, everything.
You can turn the bosses into topiary.
Oh, just for a moment, you know, you throw that down immediately. Oh, look, that's a nice, good peacemaker shot. You know? Yeah, very good. Very, I use that a lot. The bombardier, the Mr. Fungus, and the Annihilator. The Doomsday Glove, I think it's called, with a little...
Bots, the Doomsday bots.
What a great combination of things. Like, just throw them out and just like
and then stand just run, just try and survive.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Trying to do like really high multipliers for bolts on the arena. Yes. That was my sort of go-to combination. The ice one is surprisingly good as well because it incapacitates anything it hits.
Yeah.
And when you get the Amiga version. Off. Yeah, slide off the edge. And the cloud it makes, you just hit the cloud in front of the portal and everyone that comes through just keeps getting iced and iced. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Great selection of guns. I really enjoyed all of them. The only one I didn't use was the cyclone gun, the neutronic cyclone. That's like a beam weapon.
Yeah.
That one I couldn't find a good space to use it or anyone that really, it didn't really do a lot of damage. It was hard to aim. It was a bit odd.
Yeah.
The marksman rifle I used a little bit, but it's not a game I go in for snipering sort of thing.
No, but it doesn't lend itself to sniping.
When it is fully upgraded, though, you could definitely do some really good damage if you want to take some people out, for sure. Lightning gun's great. Doom blades are great. Peacemaker, obviously, is awesome kind of thing. Oh, so many.
Yeah, they've got good guns in Ratchet and Clank.
The pixelator was fun. Pixelating the big, huge boss was fun as well. Yeah, like, so insane. Making them all.
Pixelated.
Yeah. The story was fine.
Is that the one where there's two Nefariouses?
Yes, the Emperor and our Dr. Nefarious. Yeah. Yep, and you got Rivet and Ratchet and Kit and Clank.
And the Emperor just has no respect for Dr. Nefarious.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. That's great. This is great. Yeah.
I did like that mechanic. That was very good.
Yeah, look, it was a fine story. I think it's a common all Ratchet and Clanks. The story is kind of...
It's a little bit all over the shop.
But it's a lot of plot holes, a lot of like things just happening because they need to happen for the plot as opposed to any like real reason kind of thing, which is fine. I don't play it for the story. The story was more than serviceable kind of thing.
And you get a few laughs out of it.
Yeah. I do like the doppelganger, like all the... I like the Captain Quark was a kind of mess up in both realities. That was great. I love Mr. Zircon, now a bastion of peace, and his son's the murderous one running the arena, and his wife's selling all the guns because she wants to put him through college, so she's selling all the guns everywhere. That's great. Yeah, all that like that sort of subtle humor throughout there is all fantastic. The arena was either too easy or way too
hard. What was that? There's that one mission that was insanely difficult.
The 25 with the Enforcer was the hardest one for me. I spent so long trying to beat that. Even on the New Game Plus, when I knew what I had to do and had the upgraded weapons, it was still a bit of a slog to get through that one. That's in the bronze. It's only like
It's in the bronze, yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is tough, man. Because you got to make all those perfect, because you got like five platforms in the corners and one in the center. You got lava everywhere else, and a whole bunch of range goons shooting at you. You have to sort of crossover. So you can do a double jump and
shotgun.
Yeah. And they put in like bouncy things and some wall running, but you can't use those because they shoot you.
Yeah.
And then you fall in the lava and take even more damage. Yeah. And I'm like, maybe I wasn't playing on hard and I could take a few more hits. It wouldn't have been so bad, but.
No, it's still frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. I eventually worked out like a bit of a cadence about like always teleport, always jump and then teleport, because when the flying guys bomb you,
they
land on the ground. So if you jump first, because you got to pause for a second while you teleport and they'll get you then. So you have to jump and teleport. Always keep going between the health to keep the health going. And then once I upgraded enough that I had enough bullets to kill everyone, because that was the other key thing. I kept running out of bullets before I killed everyone. You had
to go and pick up bullets.
Yeah, that was challenging. Once I didn't have to pick up bullets anymore, that really was the turning point. But the rest of it was all pretty easy. The double fight, the 30 Raritanian double fight against both bosses.
Yes. That wasn't too bad.
It's not too bad. Fun. Yeah. Fun fight. Did that quite a few times to get all the Raritanian I needed to upgrade everything kind of thing. That was a satisfying, because it was easy when you're on top of it. But if you start letting go sideways a bit.
Yeah, you know, sideways really badly.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I didn't put enough Doom patrols out, now the guys portaling in are getting me kind of thing, and it's it was a bit of a knife edge a couple of times, but there's some fun stuff.
Were there any achievements you had trouble with?
No, I don't think so. Nothing that strikes my mind. I had to spoil myself to get all the hidden ones, because I kind of get annoyed with hidden achievements. So I didn't do them.
I had so much trouble finding the guys at the spa.
The guys at the spa.
Yeah, there's these guys sitting on the day beds drinking cocktails on one of the planets.
Yeah, that's on the one with all the Lombax lore.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Oh. I just went across that whole
planet. Is there achievement for them?
Yeah, it was the last one I had to get
to
take a photo of them or witness them or whatever it was. And I missed them.
Little thing there. I just saw them by mistake. I said, oh, that's cute. I didn't even know there was an achievement attached to it. I just got it by fingers. Oh, yeah, the bears. I'd look up the bears, where the location of all the cute bears were. Oh, yeah,
okay.
Because I didn't go back and find them all. I don't know. Did you find them all yourself?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you champion. Good stuff. You did better than I did then.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. So I was finding everything. It's only when I kept hyper booting across this whole planet, because I knew they were on this planet somewhere,
but I
couldn't find the damn spa.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's right there too. It's so super obvious once you found it, I'm sure. Yeah,
it
was.
And I was trying to work out if there was a trick, because there was one tower thing. There were a couple of things that looked like they were a trick. You know how there's like sometimes a half a grind rail?
Oh, yeah.
And you've got to double jump above it and fall off a certain way, and then you land on the grind rail as you're falling down.
Yeah.
They put nasty tricks like that in Ratchet and Clank, and I thought maybe it was something like that, but I never worked out what that was, that puzzle, but I didn't need to.
I think I said maybe it wasn't a puzzle, because if you got all the bolts and everything,
I did get everything. Yeah.
Probably done,
It was just some funny thing that didn't look quite right.
It was interesting they gave you all the revealed all the secrets, because normally, rather than the bears, normally I'm looking – that's probably why I should have realized – I looking for the bolts and finding all of them.
The gold
but they
bolts,
give you the map finder thing pretty early on to give them
normally all. You get it right at the end of the game, so you need to use it in the new plus game.
Yeah, and that was interesting. So maybe I should have just gone and looked for the bears. Done now anyway.
Yeah, done.
It's done. It's on.
You know. Another Ratchet and Clank under the belt.
Yeah.
It's still awesome fun.
Oh, great fun.
Yeah, game system is fantastic.
Yeah, so much. Yeah, easy. Just crushed it. So then I went back and I did all the. I got all the achievements. Went back and 100%ed both my saves.
Yeah.
Just got all the collected all the bits and pieces that I missed on that first playthrough and did all that bit. But very easy to 100% considering like I didn't have to level up all the guns or anything like that, which I'm kind of grateful for. But I'll probably just go back and just belt the arena a bit every so level often just to have
just
fun.
For fun. Yep.
Had a bit of trouble though with the port. Overall, the port was fantastic. Okay. They did a great job. I mentioned last time it ran beautifully the whole time. But a couple of things, interesting things, like the experimental vibration was terrible in the end. That was I don't know if that's in the PS5 version as well, but like every step you took it like vibrated kind of thing. And everything had vibration on it. My controller did never stop shaking.
I didn't have that. Maybe I turned it off. Maybe
you did.
As well.
Yeah.
So I turned it off.
I'm like, it'd be really good if the controller was more delicate.
Yeah.
But I think that it's just a bit clunky. Not like your phone. Your phone has like very delicate vibration. So if you click on different parts of your keyboard, it vibrates in different parts.
Yeah.
The controller doesn't have that.
The whole thing vibrates.
It's like just, it felt like my whole hand was just going numb because it was just shaking all the time. That wasn't part of the port. Maybe that was part of the port then if it wasn't part of the PS5. But I had two crashes to desktop.
Oh.
But thankfully, because the checkpointing system is so on point.
Yes.
I didn't really feel like I really lost a lot anyway. I had a problem with the hover boots not activating. So I'd hover and you couldn't accelerate.
Yeah.
Did you have that one?
Yeah.
Not a port problem then.
No, that was
a game problem.
Thing,
yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
The last thing was, you know, it's not the long shot, but the one that you swing off, you do like a Tarzan. The swing shot.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, the slingshot is hard. I am not getting the timing right to get a good launch off. This is really tough in this game. Anyway, I'm reading like a known issues thing, and it's like, oh, if you're running on anything more than 30 frames a second, the slingshot doesn't animate far enough, so it lets you off too soon.
Right.
And if you're on like 120 frames, you can't beat some of the puzzles because it doesn't give you enough lift to get off kind of thing. So I was like, oh, that's a little interesting.
That's a port issue.
A port issue kind of thing, like trying to get it to the higher frame rates and some sort of animation locking for that particular thing. I'm like, I feel vindicated now. I'm not terrible at that. I do know how that works. Because every time I did it, I'm like, that was a very low balling swing, Luke. I'm like jumping onto the edge, the edge and just holding on. I'm like, that was tight.
That was close.
That was very close. Like, that was an interesting one. Oh, man, such a good game.
Good fun.
Could almost just go start it again and just play through one more time, but I think I'll have to leave it for a bit. I think until later on. Also been playing Arcade Paradise, which I'm nearly done. I'll talk about it next time I'm finished. But I'm really enjoying that. Like I was a bit kind of
dubious
on the first time, but
episode.
They've really started adding lots of cool arcade games and machines to it as well. So that's been really good. Also been playing Trek to Yomi.
Yes,
which is a I'll wait till I finish it. I think it's actually way longer than I was expecting. I think it's like seven chapters and I'm only in chapter three.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a trek.
That is a trek. I think Yomi might be the afterlife, maybe. Is that what that... They mentioned... I just realized, it's all coming back to me now, last night when I was playing it, they were talking about Yomi. But it's all in Japanese. You got to read subtitles and stuff like that for it. Yeah. Maybe that's what that's about. But that's really good as well. I'm looking forward to...
reviewing that as well.
Also, Tony, Rollerdrome.
Yes.
Finals time, baby. Finals time. Yeah. Oh, I got crushed so hard. So hard. Oh, my God. I don't know how I'm going to beat this one. Oh, my God. I went back and did all the challenges to unlock it kind of thing. And I'm just like, oh, man.
You got to get back into the zone.
Yeah, I did a practice because doing the challenges, you kind of got to like control what's going on so you can knock off a few things and stuff. But
it didn't help you with the final.
And then I got to fight the Spider Mark II as well, which is the giant robot thing that they have in one of the levels, you know, kind of thing. So I don't know what the number two is going to be on that. That was already pretty brutal as it was anyway. So yeah, there's a few things on that. And then Starfield will be on the trot. As well.
Yes.
Jeez, it's all happening at the moment.
It's all happening.
Well, until then, Tony, I don't know. That was a really bad way into the...
It's not a segue.
No, it's not a segue into our usual outro. That was not good. I tell you.
Try again. Stuff
up then. I can't now because I'm thinking about it. So until next week, thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Luke.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the internet.